day to eat Embera. Give me the power, I beg of you!
Hello, Now Playing listeners. This is Arnie, and are you ready to play with your toys? This past weekend saw two big releases about toys. Of course, there was Toy Story 4. That review is coming for free on our main feed this weekend. But then, a little bit of counter-programming. A reboot of Child's Play with Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky. It's the eighth film in the Child's Play series. So whether you like your toys happy and friendly, or evil and murderous, there is a film out this weekend for you. We reviewed Child's Play as our very first donation series way back in 2010. We've continued that series when new installments came out, like Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky, and we're picking it up again today with a review of the reboot of Child's Play. Brock Stewart and I, seeing how this new vision compares to Don Mancini's original. Here's a clip from the show, and I'll be back to tell you how you can hear the entire Child's Play retrospective after it. Yeah, these are all setting up characters. I also think it's setting up kills here in a neighborhood. I mean, what else are you going to do? Will this movie take the risk? I know it's R-rated. It's not PG-13. Will some of these kids be killed? Pug is not killed. Andy intervenes here in this moment. Andy gets hurt. And I would think even the most rudimentary programming would realize, oh, I shouldn't do anything more with a knife. Andy doesn't want me to, but this robot doesn't learn that. It's going to scare the boyfriend, Shane, and it's going to get thrown into a cabinet. And when Andy comes home, which he's always doing, it feels like this movie is always staying in the same apartment. It can't afford to go anywhere else. People are just always leaving and then walking back in the next scene. But when he walks in, reflected in the broken glass of that cabinet, we see very faintly a dead cat in a pool of blood.
Yeah, and Chucky's face. I do like some of the shots in this movie, and that was one. I like that Andy doesn't see it, but we do. And yes, the cat is dead, and we're a half an hour into this movie, and we are starting to get to kills, but very slowly. We're going to have quite a bit about the cat, and then finally, we're also going to get to Shane. This 10 minutes is going to be Shane's 10 minutes of the film.
So why did he do that? He didn't kill that cat when that cat scratched him.
Because Chucky replayed Andy saying, Shane's such an asshole. Shane's such an asshole. Shane's such an asshole. So Karen takes the doll away. While Karen is putting it in the cabinet, she also says, this thing's freaking Rudy out. Well, I can keep him away from Rudy in my room. And she goes, no, it's staying in the cabinet. And then when the cat is dead, Chucky, why did you do this? Kitty made you unhappy, now we can play again. Since the mom was locking him up to keep him away from the cat, no reason to lock up Chucky.
Yeah, so Chucky is an innocent that doesn't understand when he kills that it's terrible. That's terrible. I just want to say I hate that conception. I'm glad it's not a voodoo serial killer, but I don't like this.
BB.
Yeah, it is exactly that, which was bad back in Deadly Friend, and is just as bad here.
I like the shot when Chucky's bashing on the closed door and he can't get out, right? Did no one else hear the banging on the cabinet besides Andy? I thought Andy was kind of haunted by that, but why didn't the mom hear that? That kind of bothered me a little bit.
Why doesn't the mom ever ask, why is the glass broken on this cabinet? I mean, it never comes up. And then that night, if Chucky is so innocent, why is he standing over Andy and playing the sounds of the dying cat? That's not something a best friend would do. That's like, are you trying to creep him out? This doll doesn't learn. This doll follows the script. It needs to be creepy and it needs to kill because that's what this movie is.
Yeah, that was the creepiest moment in the film. When earlier he was singing his song. It should be said, I've complained about the previous Child's Play that Chucky didn't have a theme song. Well, he gets one in this one, and there's a really creepy scene where Andy at like 2 a.m. wakes up to find this doll standing over him singing. He's like, you're really weird. You need to stop that. And then later, yeah, because that wasn't weird enough, let me play you the mewling of the dying cat as I stabbed it or did whatever I did to it, because that'll bring us closer.
I do get it. I mean, this is the same thing we saw in previous Child's Play films, though. You piss off Chucky, you're gonna die. We saw that in part 2 where the teacher, like, threw him in a closet and the teacher was killed. Here, Shane is going to throw Chucky in Andy's room and push Andy back on the bed because Chucky, again, instigated Shane is such an asshole. Shane is such an asshole. I don't know why Chucky keeps doing that. He is, I think, wanting to piss off Shane or get rid of Shane. But when Shane gets physical, Chucky's going to follow him home and get physical back.
Well, actually, Arnie, in both cases here, I'm seeing that Chucky is doing anything he possibly can to get Andy's attention, and he's doing it wrong. There's real-world examples of this, or kids have done that they act out when they're not getting enough attention. This is something they may be trying to intimate here with this doll. I think they're trying to go with more of the doll doesn't know any better because it's so innocent, and they're trying to have both ends to the middle on that. I don't think it plays either way very well. I like the innocent way better than Andy, pay attention to me. Because it really started happening when he started hanging out with his friends and not paying as much attention to Chucky, right? If I get rid of these people who Andy doesn't like, then Andy will play with me. He actually says that, I think, later in the movie. And that didn't really play very well for me at all. I don't really see where that came from.
It's interesting. Andy is still protective of him when he kills the cat. It really is the Shane death that gets him to change his mind about remaining friends.
Right, and he's actually scared at that point as opposed to he's protective of him with the cat, which the cat should have clued him in just fine.
Totally. I mean, even strangling the cat was bad. When he finally killed it, yeah, I mean, you definitely call up the manufacturer. That's a serious violation.
I understand that it would be difficult to convince your mother, hey, the doll killed the cat. By the same token, covering up for the doll isn't exactly the best way to go either. I think this is the moment you get rid of the doll is when it kills the cat.
So I ask, do you guys believe that they bonded? Do you believe in the moments, and they've taken some time to do it, do you believe Andy and Chucky are friends?
I have to believe there's something there because the movie tells me that in a couple of scenes. But honestly, I feel like Andy's been ignoring Chucky because he has human friends. I mean,
right.
When he was watching Texas Chainsaw, he glanced over at Chucky, but Chucky was along for the ride. And when they introduce Omar, Andy is off with his two friends and leaves Omar there trying to stab for Tupac, which I don't even know. That's not 1988 and that's not 2019. I don't know where the Tupac reference comes in. That kid was not born when Tupac died.
But you guys don't get a sense that there's a strong, you don't feel a strong connection of you want to see these two be friends. It's not going to be tragic when one turns on the other.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay. No. No.
They tried to set that up. Don't act surprised that I've asked that question. The problem is, I don't think that this Chucky buddy thing is giving him anything that his phone wasn't. I mean, that's really the problem. We needed to believe that this was a person in his life and not just technology in his life. And the truth of the matter is, he was getting just as much punching in apps at the beginning of the movie as he was when he was getting this doll.
Yeah, and he enjoyed doing with this doll inappropriate things, like he enjoyed watching the doll do on YouTube videos. I feel he was too old to ever have that moment that you could have with younger Andy Barkley in the first one. Chucky, you're my best friend. You could do that with a young kid. This, they're going to try to sell us that in a few scenes, but it's not going to work for me.
Yeah, for me, the main thrust difference of Child's Play 1988 and Child's Play 2019 is that this one wants you to believe they started as friends, and it went sour, and it's a tragedy. Whereas the first one, it was always about there's a serial killer in there, and he doesn't even care about the other kid until he realizes he can use that kid's body to become mortal again. So that's the main difference of the movie. And to me, they did a very bad job of setting up the idea that they're friends.
I get it. He imprinted on Andy. We were told he'll imprint on you for life, but AI is supposed to learn. Now, at the end, he's going to say something that I wish was set up. He's going to say to Andy, Andy, maybe you don't want to be happy. Maybe you're broken. If there was something leading up to that that was confusing his artificial intelligence into thinking this is what was wanted.
You mean like his hearing impairment, which is, I think, what they cut out?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was referring to. And some comment cards came back saying, how dare you? But now we're in the middle act, and this is all about the killing, right? Now we can finally just get to the slasher part, because that is allegedly what everyone is here for, is we just want to see a doll kill some people in some fun ways. This movie has not been fun up to this point, but hopefully, now that we have Shane, the bad boyfriend, going home to a real family, like, now we can openly hate him. Yeah, it's one thing to kind of yell at Andy and drink beer and tell him to shush, but it's quite another thing to, yeah, be leading Karen on. And
that's the final nail in the coffin for our boy Shane here. Let's talk about this kill, because this kill...
What time of year is this movie happening?
Yeah, let's start there, because I would think if you were launching a Buddy 2 doll, you would do it before Christmas. But this movie is in the doldrums of January. He's removing Christmas lights.
It is January?
I would assume so.
No, it can't be January, because there's fresh watermelons in the watermelon patch in his front yard.
You know what? In certain climates where it doesn't get very cold, I guess you could do that.
It just confused me, because I feel very lucky. My birthday was in September. I always got the hottest new toys for birthday gifts, because that's when the toys hit shelves. You stock in September to sell through December. And so I'm like, okay, Buddy 2 is coming out. We're obviously leading up to Christmas. If he waited this fucking long to take down the Christmas lights, leave them up for 3 more months.
He should have been putting them up. It should have been, oh, the pressure, I've got to do it. I'm going to put up the lights. Regardless, I kind of like the bit that he's wrapped in them. The ladder gets knocked over, and suddenly this mulcher is moving down light by light, coming closer and closer to his head.
And the lights stay on.
Yeah, what is that? It'll stay on.
He's at the end of the lights. They're not plugged in anywhere, and they stay on. And they don't look like LED lights. I think the moment you take out one, every third one's going to burn out anyway. But this thing's coming at him. The CP-88 tiller. CP-88, of course, Child's Play. Came out in 1988.
It's like a Pixar reference.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you that when you put lights on your house, you keep them lit so you can see how they look. When you take them down, you usually unplug them. Just want to point that out for safety reasons for anyone going to put on or take down lights off your house this year.
For safety reasons, I shouldn't be asking these questions, but A, if he's been pissed on all day, why is he having to go out that night and take down the lights? Second, when you take down the lights, do you just grab a point and rip off your house, or do you take them down the way you put them up? Clark Griswold, he ain't.
All right, so do I take this to mean you don't like the scene?
I love where it goes.
What gets me about this is, so Chucky, the mulcher gets to his head, he stops it with his hand.
Yeah, that was nice. Like, he's not an idiot. Like, he fell off the ladder that broke his legs, whatever.
Yeah.
It didn't look like that big of a fall, but he broke his legs really bad, and he can't run away, but he can use his hand to hold it off.
I did like the breaking of the legs, and again, I think there's something here about kids and technology in that the daughters are right inside the window, but because they got their Beats by Dre on or whatever, they can't hear their dad scream.
Exactly, and he can't reach his phone, so he's crawling to get his phone with his broken legs. He's able to stop the mulcher from getting on his head, but then Chucky gets on top of him with a knife, and correct me if I'm wrong, he chooses to die by mulcher than by doll, right? It was a conscious choice to let the hand go. Am I wrong about that?
I think it was an instinctive. Chucky was swinging a knife at him, and so he wanted to block the knife.
Oh, I see.
And in doing so, he let go of the mulcher, and it is, again, I chortled when he gets scalped and the scalp lands on the garden gnome.
Yes, that was funny. Actually, I did laugh.
If you'd like to hear that review
I liked about
and
that.
All of our Child's Play reviews, they're available as part of our Spring-Summer 2019 donation drive, where you can get up to 43 bonus podcasts, including the Men in Black retrospective series, the Child's Play retrospective series, the Quentin Tarantino retrospective series, every film Tarantino directed, plus some he didn't. We reviewed Robert Rodriguez's From Dusk Till Dawn, which Tarantino wrote and starred in, as well as both films in Grindhouse, and the Tarantino-written True Romance and Natural Born Killers, Oliver Stone. All leading up to our new review coming out in about a month of his new film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And that's in addition to our brand new retrospective series, The Summer of 1989, looking at films like The Abyss, When Harry Met Sally, Do the Right Thing, Dead Poets Society, the Lethal Weapon retrospective series. All four of those reviews are out now, and Sergio Leone's The Man With No Name series and Once Upon a Time in the West and Once Upon a Time in America, because obviously Tarantino's referencing those titles with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You can find details on how to donate at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. We appreciate your support, and your donation goes into making this show possible. You'll notice that at no point in our show are we interrupted to talk about car insurance or audiobooks or car care products. We intentionally have remained independent thanks to crowdfunding from listeners like you. We hope you can join us for Child's Play. If not, you're still getting a bonus show this weekend with our review of Toy Story 4 coming soon. And then, hey, another toy movie. We're going to be reviewing Annabelle Comes Home this coming Tuesday. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to Now Playing. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Friends to the end, remember?
This is the end, friend.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air. Child's Play and all the Child's Play universe contains is the intellectual property of Universal Pictures, and no infringement is intended. Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2019, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.